I am not in danger. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Comfort Wipe, the sanitary paper extension arm and holder. The first improvement to toilet paper as we know it since the 1880s. It extends your reach a full 18 inches.
We have been boarded by armed pirates.
Bow before Megatron, your leader.
To the launching pad comes the chimpanzee. The flight plan calls for the Redstone to propel the chimpanzee into space at more than 5,000 miles an hour.
I'm the goddamn Batman!
These trousers continue to make an impact. All eyes will be watching as to what Team Norway might come up with next.
Listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And download every episode and more at basicallyasportsshow.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Okay, we are rolling.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. That's always my official, professionally trained intro to the show.
Yeah,
right there.
You spend a lot of time on these each week, right?
I do. I really do.
You've got to have to silence the 5, 4, 3, 2.
We are rolling. Like that?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
Style.
Anyway, guys, voting is complete. The results are in, and we have ourselves
16.
We have ourselves a Sweet 16 and a glorious tournament of victory.
The strange 16?
What?
Strange 16?
We need like an official name for it, like Strange 16.
I like Strange 16.
Sure, whatever.
It's not exactly sweet, is it?
No.
Well, you know, it depends on how you look at
it. Some of these things are pretty sweet.
The results, some of them I felt were quite sour, in my opinion. But
Well, now you're only taking the vote from what you saw on the boards. You do not know what the results of the online poll were.
I actually don't. I'm interested to see how things turned out. Are we just going to go right into this the old tournament of victory?
Yeah. Are we going to start off with the world of sport, or are we going to
let's do the tournament. We've got or we could do the classic radio bit, talk about it now, and tease them and make them listen to us babble for a few hours, and then get back to it. I say we start off with it and get it done.
It's a podcast. They could just skip ahead anyway, so...
Good point, Mike.
If you're one of the very few that do not enjoy the glorious tournament of victory, speed ahead a half hour, maybe?
Probably about... Yeah, thereabouts, I would guess, yeah.
And then if we talk longer, then you can fast forward a little bit longer. And if we undertalked it, maybe you can rewind. That's the beauty of these things.
Yes.
Not live.
That's the beauty of modern technology, you know? The world is your oyster, so...
Like when I listen back to the show, I always fast forward past anything Mike says.
Oh, well, that's probably a good idea.
So we had.
I kid.
We had. How many? Did you know how many votes total we had?
44.
Wow. Holy
that's
shit.
That's got to surpass last year's.
By a long shot, yeah. Yep. I think it was about 17 votes last year.
Yeah, I think everyone ended up being like, you know, 13 to. 5 at the most.
Right. And this year we had 34 votes on the online poll and 10 on the boards.
Okay.
All right, well, do we know if they're the same thing?
There was one that...
Are we counting them double?
There was one vote on the boards that said he'd already voted, so I disallowed his vote, so it did not count.
But
so we actually had 11.
So we don't know if somebody might have voted online and then posted their explanations.
Actually, one person did
on
the boards.
Or they have to register their name.
There were this is the thing, I don't know. There were IP addresses, but I wasn't able to match them up to the people from the boards. So I counted everything because having no way to know who did what, I counted all the online votes as separate and the board's votes as separate. So yes, we may have some double votes.
Someone could, in theory, flood the ballot box.
Don't give them any ideas.
It's too late. Yeah, but not to mention the fact that I have the IP address. So if I see a double IP address, I immediately disallow. I give them one vote, disallow all the rest. It happened one time. Somebody voted three times. It only got counted once. So there you go.
The glorious tournament of victory has standards.
Absolutely.
This is serious, people.
Yeah.
We've got committees. and rule books.
Committees, rule books, and
you have scientists and labs just sort of randomly doing – they're putting like things in beakers and looking at them. It looks very official.
They're pouring smoking liquid into another thing of smoking liquid. It's
exactly. Going, and writing things.
Right. Writing things furiously on a clipboard.
Like scent of the glass tubes and Bunsen burners and
– They have cauldrons. in the background. Anyway,
it's much like a Walter White meth lab.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Which leads us into a segue into the glorious.
Beautifully done, Zach. In the Charlie Conway Memorial Region, we will start with the matchup between Walter White, the number one seed, and the number eight seed, the Chewbacca Defense.
Now, I was really interested to see how this one would shape up because I think the Chewbacca Defense actually had probably the best shot of anything else in this tournament of taking down Walter White. So,
okay.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing. A chemistry teacher that has cancer that needs to sell meth to pay for his family? That doesn't make sense.
We also didn't know Walter White never saw a courtroom, so we don't know. Maybe he would have collapsed under the pressure of facing the legality of his crimes. We don't know.
I believe someone actually addressed that very issue in the voting thread, and if I can fill until I can get there, I will tell you what he said.
Our good friend LMU says the Chewbacca Defense only serves to help Walter
as
Saul adopts it into his legal playbook.
That's exactly what I was going to point out. So there you go.
So who won this particular matchup?
Well, now let me explain the scoring really quick. We talked about the online voting and we talked about the board voting. Okay, so how I did this was I scored it on the online part first. There were 10 votes on the – because you're going to hear some scores that aren't going to add up quite right. And then I took the board 10 votes from the board. Okay, so if a score in the online part was over, like a bigger lead than 10, I didn't bother counting the votes on the boards because I figured there was no way they could catch up, so it was over at that point. Make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, so anyway, in the 1 versus 8 matchup, Walter White versus the Chewbacca Defense, Walter White won 24-12.
Wow.
Oh, that was a thrashing.
That's
a
strong.
And it would have been even uglier had we added in the votes from the board, so it was not even close. It was just a complete blowout. Walter White easily advances to the next round.
As he should. He's the number one overall seed in the tournament. And, you know, I think he's on a collision course with the goddamn Batman. But the goddamn Batman had a tough matchup against Friday, but that's at the bottom of this bracket. Let's continue.
That's
all right. Up next, the 12-13 matchup, a quizzical Dilophosaurus, the dinosaur that killed Dennis Nedry in Jurassic Park versus a deer in your headlights. And again, not a very close matchup. This one never even made it to the board voting. Do you guys want to comment on it first before I give you the score?
Based on everyone else's argument, it made a lot of sense. The deer in your headlights stopped, confused. Probably more confused than the quizzical Dilophosaurus.
Absolutely.
The Dilophosaurus sees food. And the deer in your headlights is like, what the hell is that thing?
The quizzical Dilophosaurus isn't confused. He's curious. That's the difference.
Well, I mean, I think the deer in your headlights kind of thing. It was one of those nominations that was almost kind of a vague feeling. It was almost like a sensation or a scenario. Like I remember people were putting submissions of like the feeling of getting kicked in the nuts or something.
Right.
Like you know, it's not really an entity. It's a sort of like this series of emotions or whatever.
Well, but this isn't an emotion. This is a deer. That is in your headlights.
But
on a collision course with your vehicle.
To further what Andy said, each person is going to react to that differently, so it's kind of hard to get a real feel for what the exact feeling is we're going for there. Anyway, it was never close. The Dilophosaurus won 27-7. Never even made it out. Even made it to the board voting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So now we get Walter White and a quizzical Dilophosaurus in the second round.
That is it.
This is where you got to have the sound effect from the Jurassic Park movie of Nedry screaming in the car as the Dilophosaurus.
Yes, moving on to the are we sticking with the Strange 16?
Sure.
All right. That will be the number one seed, Walter White, versus the number 12 seed, the Dilophosaurus, in the Strange 16. Okay. Moving on. The next matchup from the Charlie Conway Memorial Region, Norway's curling pants up against cat chasing a laser pointer.
What were the seeds on those?
Number three.
Norway
was a three seed, the cat chasing a laser pointer, and 11 seed. This one was close.
I got to think the cat with the laser pointer came out on top. I think that Norway is too contextually based in a time period that has already passed. The cat, with no matter how relevant it might have been a month ago, the laser pointer cat, I feel like, is universally relatable for at least this century.
Based on what I saw on the board, it seemed pretty interesting. Because some people were saying that the cat chase and the laser pointer would be too preoccupied by the laser pointer to even notice the pants, therefore the pants walk by. Or some people said that the curling pants were so eye-catching that the cat would then attack the pants.
I have to think that the power of the internet was just too strongly behind the curling pants, that we're just too close to the we're too close to the Olympics for there to be a disconnect.
The internet is also very behind cats.
I gotta think that the power loves cats. The power of the internet may be in next year's tournament. I have to remember that. So what's the result? What's our tally on that?
Well, this one actually had to go to the boards to get the final vote. All right, it was 19-15 coming out of the online poll. Norway was up by 4, which put it inside the margin of 10 points, which means the board voting came into play. And on the boards, it got pretty ugly for the cat. Norway won the board vote 6-3, making the final score Norway's curling pants 25, cat chasing a laser pointer 18. So Norway's curling pants move on.
Man, way to go, you Olympian favoring bastards. Fucking stupid pants beat a cat. What was the reasoning? Did we get any reasoning, or was it just votes?
I mean, there's plenty of reasoning. Let's see. One, like I said, the cat is too preoccupied to notice the pants.
A cat with a laser pointer is mildly entertaining for a short time. Norway's curly pants are a cultural icon.
Let's see. One day Norway will wear pants made of lasers, and cats will chase them all day.
That's a good answer. I will take that answer. Fine. that is a glorious tournament victory answer right there.
Yeah, I like that one.
I am satisfied.
Bravo, sir, on the explanation.
That was Kaz on the boards.
Bravo, Kaz. Bravo.
And in the matchup to see who is going to play Norway's curling pants in the Strange 16, the goddamn Batman, a number 12 seed up against the number 7 seed, Friday the Day.
Friday, man. Come on, Friday. I'm sorry.
But you know what? Somebody made a very good argument, and this is the argument I was going to use. If Batman can conquer Calendar Man, Batman can conquer a day on the calendar. Therefore, Batman advances.
But also, this other poster said that the Batman does not observe weekends or holidays. Therefore, Friday is just any other day. So that would give Batman the advantage. Because
indeed, another fantastic answer.
It was a blowout, guys.
No.
Really?
The goddamn Batman moves on easily 25-9. Not even close. 25-9. One of the biggest margins of victory.
Three seeds.
Yes.
And a surprise 12 in the final four of the Charlie Conway region.
Just can't get rid of the Batman.
Can't get rid of him.
Andy, I brought in a ringer to take care of the Batman, and it's happening.
Don't speak so quickly,
Don't
Mike.
Speak so quickly, Mike.
That was closer than you think.
Without giving anything away, the closest match in the entire round of 32 in the Glorious Tournament of Victory was Rob Ford's crack pipe versus the Invincible Iron Man.
Well, let's not jump the gun. We'll get there in due time.
All right, that's just a little tease, so you can fast forward right to that.
To close out the Charlie Conway region, Walter White versus a Quizzical Dilophosaurus. And on the other side, Norway's curling pants versus the goddamn Batman. I think the Batman wins in a walk there. And, man, can Walter White take out a dinosaur?
Yes. I think what we're going to see here in your region when we get down to that point is the matchup everyone's been waiting for. Walter White versus the goddamn Batman for a chance to go to the Final Four.
And you want
to
know what? That's going to be the matchup to watch should it happen. Because honestly, I could see Walter White versus Batman as like a legitimate Batman movie. I could see Walter White as a Batman villain.
That's why Walter White got the one seed and the goddamn Batman got the two.
I want to propose a rule here, just going forward for any future tournaments. Let's say hypothetically that the goddamn Batman makes the Funky Four or whatever.
The Funky Four.
That he is retired after that.
His jersey gets retired.
So even if he wins the tournament or loses in the Funky Four, he is retired from competition.
Let's say if you make the Final Four 2 years in a row, you're not allowed to come back for 5 years. How's that?
5 years, good God. Fine.
Okay.
We're assuming that we're doing the podcast in 5 years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it might be forever. It might be for 5 years. But
I'd like to keep doing this podcast as long as I live.
In either case, the goddamn Batman, if he makes the Final Four, ain't coming back next year. We've agreed on that, right?
Sure. We got to give the kids a chance to play.
I mean, because he seems like he's a goddamn buzzsaw at this juncture.
Yeah, I can't believe he took on Friday like that. What a cold bastard.
Yeah, I thought that was actually, because when I started tallying the votes early on, it was back and forth, and then the Batman just went on a run, and it was over, and that was that. Mm-hmm. So,
what's next? Let's
keep going. Moving on to the what it means to be a Cleveland Brown region of abject misery, I think is what I called it last week.
Abject despair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Getting a whole
new look in 2015.
Exactly. The number 8 seed, 2 miles of bad road, versus the upstart number 16 seed, the Comfort Wipe.
I gotta this go. This is why, baby. Come on.
I want the Comfort Wipe to go too, but it was an interesting matchup reading the votes on the board. Now it's only 10, so I know there's a lot more in the online portion, but
without revealing who won, what was the final score?
24-10.
Really?
Yep.
I'm going to predict it was the Comfort Wipe because I have to. Okay, here's my reasoning. If you're on 2 miles of bad road, it might be advantageous to have a Comfort Wipe with you.
Yeah.
If you're looking at it from just a glance, which I feel like a lot of our voters did, not an insult to them. I just feel like if you're on a message board, you just kind of look at them and go, okay, I like that one better. Mm-hmm. I think that people see the flavor wipe. Comfort wipe. They see the Comfort Wipe and they see something strange and has flavor, is what I was – not literally.
I should hope not.
If I was voting in the tournament and I saw the Comfort Wipe, I'm like, what the hell is a Comfort Wipe?
But versus
you
Bat
do
Road.
A quick Google and then, oh, my God, it's a Comfort Wipe. How can I not vote for a Comfort Wipe?
Right.
Exactly. Versus Bad Road, it's like everyone's like, ooh, Bad Road. No, I don't want to vote for that, you know, kind of thing. So I think Comfort Wipe rode off.
And let's remind everyone, too, that the Comfort Wipe barely made the tournament last week, getting past 1 gallon of Hawaiian Punch. Got into the tournament, knocked out number one seed Chimp Bartender, a Final Four participant from, in fact, a championship game participant from last year. So anyway, the final score was, as we all expected, the Comfort Wipe 24, 2 miles of bad road 10.
Comfort Wipe.
Cinderella story.
Yes. So,
start 16 seed.
16 seeds.
I hope we see a Walter White Comfort Wipe finals. Oh my god, that would make my day.
Well, if the voting's to be understood, I think the Comfort Wipe might have a very difficult challenge in the next round.
Well, we move on to the number 12-13 matchup from the What It Means to Be a Cleveland Brown Region of Abject Despair. Number 12 seed, the Amish Mafia versus Astronaut Chimp with a newspaper from the powerful, mighty Chimp Conference. And this was another one that had to go to the boards to get a final score.
Oh.
So it was a lot closer than you would think.
If it had to go to the boards for a final score, the boards are very pro-chimp.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I got to assume the chimp just won in a walk at that point.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. The board, you know, the board voters, it's very. We need to investigate to see if there's any bribery going on with the Chimp Conference and the board voters.
Well, like I said, the Chimp Conference means business this year. They've broken out an AK-47. I would not put bribery past them. And you know, like you guys said, the people on the boards love them some chimps.
The AD of the conference, the president of the Chimp Conference.
That would be Inflamed Red Ass Chimp, yes.
Inflamed Red Ass Chimp was actually pulled over driving in a 1997 he was found with a bag full of 29,000 bananas.
Were those prescription bananas?
I can't say. I believe he had some kind of a rub for his inflamed ass. Lotion. And in addition to all the bananas, so very scandal. Scandal is afoot, but we all know the board is drunk with chimp fever runs wild.
Well, it's the, like I said, the Chimp Conference is the SEC of the Glorious Tournament of Victory. They are going to get all the calls. They're going to get all the love. That's just the way it goes. But the score coming out of the online voting was Astronaut Chimp with the newspaper 19, Amish Mafia 15. It went to the boards.
Damn.
And Astronaut Chimp just walked away with it, picking up 7 or 8 more votes to Amish Mafia's 2. Final score, coming out. 27, Astronaut Chimp. 17, Amish Mafia. The Astronaut Chimp, with a newspaper, moves on to take on the Comfort Wife in the next round.
Interesting.
See, and that'll be interesting.
Because
the Comfort Wife has already taken down one chimp.
Right.
Right, but the Astronaut Chimp, by nature of being an astronaut, smarter
than
the bartender chimp.
Yeah.
We all know that the nature – this is the ultimate matchup here because the bartender – the astronaut chimp is well-versed in the world of feces. And the comfort wipe is – he may just stick it right in his mouth. He may not care.
Astronaut chimp was able to poop in space.
Right.
I think he'll be able to figure out a comfort wipe. Now,
see, what's the
however, I'm going to put a prediction out there. If the comfort wipe takes down the chimp in this next matchup, wipe is probably going to win the whole thing.
Oh, man, that's a bold prediction.
Comfort,
I don't know.
I think at the very least advance to the final four. Or
yeah.
I don't know. I'm seeing some great play out of the comfort wipe so far, but I just don't know if they can keep it up for the length of this tournament.
Well,
the other issue is I think the comfort wipe will at least make the final four if they do take down the chimp, but then they would have to face either Walter White or the Batman, most likely.
Right.
In the final four.
And neither of those two play around.
No, that would not be a very
especially exciting. Now when it comes to wiping their ass.
Come no, I imagine Batman's got a bat ass wiper.
Yeah, it's
Batman has a bat comfort wipe.
Right, exactly. It's way more technically advanced than your average comfort wipe.
It's the bat wipe.
The bat wipe, exactly.
Made out of silk.
So our matchup, our first matchup in the Cleveland Browns region is Comfort Wipe number 16 seed taking on Astronaut Chimp with newspaper a 13 seed. Are we ready to move on?
Let's do it.
All right, the next matchup, another interesting one. Five drunken Somali pirates at a county fair, a number 3 seed, taking on number 6 seed Japanese Ronald McDonald, and this was another close one. This one also had to go to the boards.
I'm thinking the Somali pirates walked away with this one.
I think when it comes to the board, I think they're down for weird things from Asia.
Exactly.
Japanese Ronald McDonald probably wins the board side
it's,
of the board.
That's part of the... Excuse me. Part of the problem with that kind of stuff because I just feel like the board is so preferential to just you almost can tell who they're going to vote for in some regards. Like I've been surprised before, but it's like clearly they went absolutely apeshit for Colonel Sanders last year.
Yeah, and like Burgundy said, you can't just out crazy Japan.
Right? Well, that's what you would think, but like I said, this one went to the boards for a vote.
Yeah,
it was 20. Somali Pirates had 20. Ronald McDonald had 14 going to the boards. And then everything got interesting. Ronald McDonald, Japanese Ronald McDonald, while winning the board vote, did not get enough votes to get the win. And the final went to the five drunken Somali Pirates at a county fair, 23-20. So the closest match, one of the closest matches in the round of 32. But the five drunken Somali Pirates at a county fair move on.
So it went to overtime.
It went to overtime, yeah. And Japanese Ronald McDonald made a valiant run, but he needed to pretty much get all of those votes, and he couldn't get them all, so he goes home.
R.I.P.
That's a shocker, I gotta admit. I'm a little stunned.
To be honest, though, the Japanese conference is known for Japanese fast food mascot conference is known for tournament jokes.
Yeah.
As we saw with the KFC Colonel Sanders last year.
Dragged in the river Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, he did not live up to expectations last year and fell early in the tournament, and... Ronald McDonald is continuing that legacy. It's now a stain on the...
Well, to be fair, the Japanese Ronald McDonald was nowhere near as captivating as the Colonel Sanders statue.
Sanders statue had the power of mysticism behind it.
Exactly. It had the ghosts. You had to like wonder about the otherworldly nature of its... As, like, did it go to the undead? Is there a spirit connection here? All that kind of stuff.
Well, I will just say about the... what was the conference called again, Zach? The Japanese...
Japanese fast food mascot.
I would say they are similar to the Big Ten as far as they get a lot of bids to the tournament, but they don't tend to go very far. So anyway, that's that one. In our next matchup, we had the number 2 seed, the Polar Vortex, going up against March Madness 12 Brackets guy.
It's a really strange matchup here. These are both kind of incredibly unrelated. I mean, you guys might have read a few reasons as to why one would win over the other, but
there's plenty of reasons. None of them are all that convincing.
That's too bad.
It seems like there was a lot of board support for Polar Vortex, but even some of the reasons one way or the other weren't all too convincing for one over the other.
Polar Vortex, 12 brackets can't keep you from freezing to death.
Those right. Ones. Another one said, you know, Polar Vortex guy or Polar Vortex is so cold that it makes the bracket guy obsess over his brackets, makes him stay inside, continually go over them. I'm not sure how this one would have played out.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I would have had to go with 12 brackets guy. I heard an explanation on the boards, which I found to be airtight, in my opinion. Polar Vortex guy, brackets guy, he doesn't go outside. He doesn't care about the weather.
That's an excellent point.
That's very true.
This one started close. It went back and forth for a while, but in the end, number two seed, Polar Vortex, pulls it out with a 23-11 win. Made it to the boards.
I figured.
I think the Polar Vortex has more oomph going forward in the tournament anyway. A bit more draw, because 12th tournament guy, I like the concept. I just don't think that he had his offense just wasn't there. I didn't like his upcourt offense.
Now,
so.
And it's worth pointing out that major weather monitoring stations in Canada have reported that that freezing or just slightly above freezing weather in central Canada will continue into April. So,
well, to be fair, the tournament does extend into April.
Well, I know, but I mean,
wait a minute. It could conceivably be our fault that winter's going to stick around longer than it should because we put this stupid thing in the tournament. Well,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either, so don't feel bad.
Well, I mean, you know, it's what was it today? God, like 75?
Yeah.
Yeah,
a little cloudy, some wind, but...
Moving on.
So you're going to have Polar Vortex going up against the Drunken Somali Pirates?
Yes. Which should be interesting.
That's going to be an interesting matchup.
I don't know if the Somali Pirates ever get out of the warm waters to do their bit, so we'll have to find
out. They're at a county fair. How far north is this county fair?
I figure it's in Iowa or somewhere.
How cold is Iowa at this point?
Pretty cold.
It's in the Midwest. It's got to be pretty cold.
Probably close to 60, with maybe some rain. Right.
Are we ready to move on to the Chubbs-Peterson Memorial region?
Why not? I want to see...
This first matchup, I know it was really tearing at your heartstrings, Andy.
This one surprised me a lot. It really did.
I'm bothered by it. It bothers me, genuinely. But go ahead.
The first matchup in the Chubbs-Peterson Memorial region was number one seed Mother Russia versus... number eight seed, uncomfortable clown-themed VHS porno. Mm-hmm.
The reasonings that people were giving on the board were quite interesting, only because some people were using the same reason, as in Mother Russia, uncomfortable clown-themed porn watches you.
Yeah.
But some people used that vote for the clown porn. Others used it for Mother Russia.
Right.
So benefit?
Right, exactly. You had the same logic voting in two different directions, which made no sense.
My qualm with... I'm assuming Russia won. Can we just disclose that Russia won?
Russia did indeed win, and in big fashion, 23-11, wasn't even close.
My problem is Russia. There is no definition as to what it is. It just is Mother Russia. There's no like. It's not a Russian. It's not Putin.
That's what makes a great tournament of victory.
Really?
He's malleable to all situations.
I think that this was one of those things where it's almost too comprehensive. Like, what if somebody just said fear? I'm just going to nominate fear. What the fuck? I mean, that's not even...
That's a fair point.
Mother Russia is too malleable. It can be anything. Like, obviously, like Mother Russia... I can understand if people were like, well, if you were to show like a room full of Russians... The clown porno, they would not even be fazed because they've probably seen crazier shit in their daily life.
Crazier shit.
Exactly. Their lives are probably crazier or just normal. They probably normally have sex dressed as clowns.
Sad.
But instead, it's just Mother Russia, blah, 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 out clowns you or something. It's like, okay, that's just forget it. Because it's just people make up their mind. They just already know what they want to win. So that's what bothers me. I mean, obviously... we're going to go with what the people voted for. Congratulations. You're going to vote fucking Russia all the way to the end because that's who
Mike.
One argument I heard that was particularly convincing in Mother Russia's favor was that Mother Russia is so crazy that, you know, clown porno just doesn't even register. And, you know, I can't really argue with that.
I would just
there was a lot of photographic evidence put in the thread as to that exactly.
I would say that what hurt the clown themed porno was that they did not rely on Fred the Wonder Chicken like they should have.
Mm-hmm.
He was only
a featured player. He wasn't
really underused, and I think that Fred the Wonder Chicken could have been the difference, but they just didn't coach this matchup right, and that's what
you
happened.
Know, I think Fred the Wonder Chicken is going to start his own franchise next season.
Yep.
And I guarantee Fred the Wonder Chicken is going to make a strong run into the tournament.
Absolutely.
We'll see. I mean, I do want to know who Mother Russia faces off against, because the main thing that I want, that I envision for the glorious Tournament of Victory every year, is that we have real analysis and thought over who wins and why. Like, mm-hmm. You don't just choose...
Well, I like this one because I like it, and the other one is dumb.
Like, that's not a good enough reason. You tell me why. I want to know why this is better than that.
But Andy really bothered by the fact that the clown porn just didn't get there.
I did have a soft spot for the Uncomfortable Clown Porn VHS. I did. But it's more that Mother Russia was not my creation, so it's like a bastard entrant in this tournament.
Yeah.
And I just sort of feel like, well, because it's the fan's choice... And it was clearly so beloved, I had to give it a number one seed, that it's just going to roll. And, you know, it's just like, well, you know, I don't know. It feels wrong to me, but that's you know, that's why I'm not voting. So,
well, I you know what, though? I think that, and when we get to this next matchup, I think you're going to see that the road for Mother Russia is going to get much more difficult.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
Right out of the gate, up to the next matchup in the Chubbs-Peterson Memorial Region. Number 4 seed, Chimp, driving a 1997 Malibu up against number 12 seed, a trio of Cadbury cream eggs.
Got it. The Chimp rolled.
I don't know.
Just from what I saw on the boards, it kind of seemed as if the Cadbury cream eggs were holding their own, so I'm not sure about that.
They held their own for a while, but as is usual in the glorious tournament of victory, the Chimps went out. They won easily 24-12. It did have to go to the boards, but it only took 2 votes for the Chimp to wrap up the win. So they move on, and that is who will play Mother Russia in the Strange 16.
I'm really hoping people do the right thing. And if you're going to choose, I'm going to tell it for every single thing, not just my bracket or this fight or whatever. For every single thing, give me at least 2 sentences. I beg of you. Don't just bold your winner. Tell me why.
We will respect any choice that you guys can, you know, legitimately defend.
And people put out the Mother Russia is very crazy, and it is.
Sure.
But they don't have chimp crazy in Russia.
Right.
No,
chimp crazy is a whole different kind of crazy.
So, Adam, we'll see how it plays out. You never know. I'm kind of glad the chimp won, because now it's almost like we're pitting the board against itself. You want to support the fucking primate conference, or do you want to support your beloved Mother Russia thing? So do pick. Make your choice.
Well, I'm not gonna be unbiased about this at all. I want the chimp to win. It's plain and simple.
Chimp to win because it's not my fucking entrant. I don't want.
I think there's plenty of people that want the chimp to win. I think chimps are a favorite. They are.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was actually quite surprised when the goddamn Batman was able to surpass the chimp in the final last year.
Anyone else, but the
power was so strong.
Anybody else but the goddamn Batman, the chimp, bartender chimp wins it last year. It was just who we had to go up against. It was as simple as that. People like if there's any entrant in the 2 seasons of the Glorious Tournament of Victory that is just universally loved, it's the goddamn Batman. He's never even been challenged from last year all the way up to this last matchup. Simple as that.
I think he'll get his challenge in due time, but that is a few weeks away.
So we move on to the next matchup in the Chubbs-Peterson Memorial Region. Another interesting matchup here. Number 13 seed, Daniel Day-Lewis's acting ability against fucking Satan. Number 6 seed.
This is interesting. I gave the argument last week that Daniel Day-Lewis could probably play Satan better than Satan himself. So
I feel like when I saw the votes for just kind of browsing through them briefly in passing that, I feel like it was really close. Was it a close vote?
It was.
It looked close to me. Just my opinion doesn't count for anything. Winner's already been decided. But in my opinion, I have to go with Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, Satan's Prince of Darkness and everything. Indeed, not taking that away from him. But I think that if you let Daniel Day-Lewis study Satan for like a solid week, he could probably play a pretty good Satan. So,
well, this one was close. It had to go to the boards to be decided. It was 20-14 in favor of Daniel Day-Lewis's acting ability going to the boards. Hmm. And it was tight on the boards. It was the board vote was 5-4 in Daniel Day-Lewis's favor. Resulting in a final score of Daniel Day-Lewis's acting ability 25, fucking Satan 19. So Daniel Day-Lewis's acting ability moves on.
Not bad. Oh. Fucking Satan with a decent little run in this tournament. I figured, I didn't know how far he would go. I figured as a random entrant, Satan would be able to kind of mix things up. And he did. But Daniel Day-Lewis's acting ability, once I put him in there, I was like, ooh, man. Once he made the tournament, I knew it was going to be a strong three seed coming out of the... I don't know, the Hollywood region or whatever the fuck.
And to close out the Chubbs Peterson Memorial Region, and this, if there is a matchup in this tournament that brings to mind the Americans losing to the Russians in whatever Olympics that was, where the Russians just totally got all the calls and the U.S. got screwed, it was this matchup. Number 10 seed, Drunken Gorilla Astride, a Penny Farthing versus number 15 seed, Yammer Yager's Vintage Penguins Mullet.
Did and Gorilla even get a vote?
The gorilla got slaughtered.
I mean, okay.
This was the biggest
votes on the boards. He did.
This was the biggest blowout in the tournament so far.
Yager's mullet. I mean, I should have known better because yep. Yager's mullet is on a hockey form. For the love of God.
Yep.
I mean, of course the mullet is. And it, to be fair, it is a fantastic mullet.
It really is. It's a work of art. It's poetry.
I just want to say I am extremely disappointed. Perhaps I misseeded. The Drunken Gorilla Astride Penny Farthing and Uncomfortable Clown VHS Porno. They will always be winners in my heart. Very sad to see them go, but I had a lot of fun. I'm glad to see that they got some votes, I guess.
Yeah, it was well, actually, it wasn't the biggest blowout in this round. That we will be coming up next. But, yeah, it was 25-9. Yager's mullet just walked all over the gorilla, so...
So the Drunken Gorilla, I can understand if he was... I mean, obviously, he's drunk, and he's on a weird bike.
I think some people are just confused as to what exactly a penny farthing was.
I think that hurt, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a visual aid would have helped a great deal.
Damn it.
Much the same way that you mentioned that a visual aid of the theme clown-themed porn probably would have helped
the porno in that matchup.
Right.
Yeah. Or hurt it, I don't know. But the penny farthing, yes. Penny farthing, come on, people. You don't know what a fucking penny farthing is.
I didn't
know until you explained it to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that is comic gold, the penny farthing.
Oh, it's beautiful.
But... Anyway.
It was funny, I actually heard that word outside of anything that we talked about this week. And I'm like, oh, penny farthing. I'm like, I know what that is now.
Well, either way, so who's Yager's going against?
Yeah, so in the...
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis's acting ability will take on Yager's mullet, and Mother Russia takes on 97 Malibu driven by a chimp.
I think if Daniel Day-Lewis can take on Lincoln's beard, I think he can take on the abilities of Yager's mullet.
He just defeated... Lucifer, I think.
Right.
But
I tell you what, you know, we're talking about who I think that Lewis's acting ability can make a real long run in this tournament.
We'll see. We'll find out.
It's strong.
It's up to the voters. Up to the voters.
So, and we are ready to move on and close out the round of 32 here with the Sentinel Prime Memorial Region of Excellence. And the first matchup we have... Okay, that can't be right. There's no such thing as a number 18 seed. The number 8 seed, Fox Mulder's I Want to Believe poster versus the number 16 seed, The Shark the Fonz Jumped.
Now, I would have to think that The Shark the Fonz Jumped would have won this because The X-Files, great show. Love The X-Files, but there's no denying it jumped the shark.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty hard.
Kind of fell into a perfect slaughterhouse there. I mean,
Yeah,
this was the biggest blowout in the tournament. Do we even want to discuss it, or should I just give the score and move on?
Yeah, go
Let's
for
just
it.
Give the score.
27-7, the Shark the Fonz Jumped over Fox Mulder's I Want to Believe poster. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huge.
You know, yeah, like I said, I love The X-Files, but there's no denying that show jumped the shark hard. So, a well-deserved victory on the part of the shark.
Up next.
Go ahead.
The number 4 Longclaw, Jon Snow's sword from Game of Thrones, number 4 seed, versus number 5 seed, a tournament favorite in my book, The Dogs of Sochi.
I'm pulling hard for the Longclaw sword. I've got a bias towards the Game of Thrones. Comes back next Sunday. I'm excited.
Yeah.
But dogs of Sochi, like you said, board favorite. Who doesn't love dogs and who doesn't love Sochi dogs?
Right.
Winter Olympic vibe is too strong. I mean, with the Norway pants rolling, I got to think. And Mother Russia.
I mean, but when it comes to Winter Olympics, I mean, nobody's been north of the wall. Have the dogs survived north of the wall?
Game of Thrones is such a surprisingly niche thing, whereas
it shouldn't be, but the board
is fickle, and they love the Winter Olympics for some reason. I don't know why.
Because it's hockey, just, man.
Speaking of, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to bring it up later. Andy, have you seen the House of Thrones video?
I have not.
Oh, it's the House of Cards Game of Thrones mashup.
I will look it up here and watch it.
Yeah, it's made by Quiznos, so it's kind of weird, but you know.
I will say that someone on the boards gave what I thought was pretty good logic for the Dogs of Sochi moving on in this matchup. Sheer numbers. Mm-hmm. Just over the sword. So I thought that was pretty good.
I mean, I'm looking forward. I think an interesting matchup, if we ever get it, would be Mother Russia versus the Dogs of Sochi.
That's what this one guy said. He voted for the Dogs of Sochi because someone has to take down Mother Russia, and the dogs have already done it once.
Mother Russia could not get rid of the Dogs of Sochi.
That is true.
Well, do we want the final score? It was another one that wasn't close. Dogs of Sochi, 23. Long Claw, John Snow Sword from
John
Game
Snore.
Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. 11. So, Dogs of Sochi will take on the Shark Defiance Jumped in the next round.
That's going to be a good one. I'm liking that matchup.
And
did the Dogs of Sochi ever jump the shark?
I don't think they ever did, honestly.
Some dogs would die in the process.
Okay,
all right, so on to the next
matchup. Those are dogs that learned how to navigate the bus system. Who knows if they could navigate a ramp over a shark?
And this is a matchup that was surprisingly close for a while. Megatron, Emperor of Destruction, number 6 seed versus number 14 seed, Los Angeles Clippers fans' unwarranted sense of self-importance.
Mm. I got to think Megatron took this one just based on name brand.
Yeah. I mean, Megatron doesn't care that the Clippers are suddenly good for the first time ever. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, Megatron. Okay, you have a sort of another weird thing here, the kind of vague feeling, a fan's sense of self-importance, kind of a non-entity, going up against Megatron, Emperor of Destruction, who, if I recall from last week's show, doesn't he harness the power of the sun or some crazy...
A black hole.
His cannon is powered by a black hole.
Now, just for those who don't know, when the universe dies, the only thing that's left are black holes. And it takes billions and trillions of years for those to go away.
Mm-hmm.
They're one of the most powerful forces in the known universe.
Thought to warp time, perhaps?
Gravity so strong that not even light can escape.
Exactly. And it's going up against Clippers fans.
Yeah, and, you know... Black holes, giant pits of doom and despair, used to be the LA Clippers. Like, used to be their calling card.
Right.
But now they've escaped that pit for the short time being. And
I can see Megatron, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the Los Angeles Clippers.
That's what I'm saying. If this was the pity of the Los Angeles Clippers in past seasons,
right.
maybe a battle.
I like this matchup a lot more 10 years ago.
Right. Yeah. But as it stands... Well, Megatron in a walk,
well,
I think.
Well, 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been unwarranted sense of self-importance. It would have just been, like, the despair of Los Angeles Clippers fans.
Let's
go to the score here. Did the people vote Megatron 4?
Yes. Actually, this one had to go to the boards to be decided, too. It was 2014 Megatron coming out of the online voting. But on the boards, it was over quickly. Megatron picked up 8 straight votes to put it away. 28-18 is your final score. Megatron moves on.
You know, fusion cannon, power of a black hole, it's hard to beat.
Right. And in what was the closest match in the round of 32.
The one I'm most interested to hear, because Mike hyped up his boy as the man that could take down the Batman. So how did Tony Stark fare against drugs?
Well, this one was a 2-point deficit going to the board voting. 18-16, the Invincible Iron Man had the lead. Early on, Rob Ford's crack pipe took the lead, but Iron Man, with a strong surge towards the end, gets the win in the closest matchup in the round of 32, 24-20 over Rob Ford's Crackpipe.
This is another thing where an awesome entrant, Rob Ford's Crackpipe, goes up against a pop culture icon so overwhelmingly
right
popular that it's just like, well, clearly somebody.
But, I thought this was interesting because Iron Man has the backstory of being the alcoholic.
True. Mm-hmm.
And the crack pipe might have been a very valid temptation.
It might have
been
a very,
down the Iron Man.
It might have been a very valid temptation, but here's why I'm okay with Iron Man going over. He's already dealt with addiction. He knows it's a good challenger to tempt him, but at the same time, he knows how to deal with that temptation. So there is logic behind Tony Stark emerging victorious.
There's logic, sure.
And that wraps it up. The Invincible Iron Man will take on Megatron.
I like.
Oh, and that's going to be a. And just for you voters, there was an Avengers Transformers crossover on comic book series. So if you would like that to inform your opinions, look into it.
Who came out victorious? The Avengers, I assume.
The Avengers with a big assist from the Autobots. So I don't think you could say that. You know, Tony Stark took on Megatron all by himself. You know, maybe Tony Stark and Optimus Prime teamed up, but we'll see.
But that wraps it up for the round of 32 in the Glorious Tournament of Victory. All right, do we want to discuss it anymore, or should we move on?
I think we've got it.
I think we got it, yeah.
All righty. We will have the Strange 16 will be posted. The new poll link will be posted, and you can vote, and we'll see what happens. So there you go. Okay.
Can I talk about it?
Well, let's talk about it. We're moving on to the
world of sports.
I knew that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Go ahead, Mike. You brought it up. What are we going to here?
So usually in the off season, that's usually the time when NFL players get arrested for DUIs. Not so much this time. Jim Irsay, the colorful, likable owner of the Indianapolis Colts.
A little crazy. He's kind of off, a little crazy, if you followed him on the Twitters.
He was pulled over for driving under the influence. Not alcohol, but low-level prescription drugs, if I got the story correct.
What kind of prescription drugs? I'm assuming painkillers, right?
I think it was painkillers, because I think he's had back surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's painkillers like Oxycontin and stuff like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, if I recall, they were prescription drugs. I didn't see where they. I'm sure they have identified it since then.
Well, but it wasn't. It's not just the drugs. It's also alcohol. He was drunk and.
Was he drunk? Was he drunk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's fought alcohol and pill addiction before, and he's supposedly been good for at least 5 years, reportedly. But from what people that are close to the Colts, a lot of the reporters, they knew this kind of stuff was still going on, but there just hadn't been any incident, so they could never report on it.
Yeah.
And there was finally an incident. So,
but I mean, I just couldn't get over the thing that really stuck with me was that $29,000 in cash he had in the car.
Yeah.
Which, you know, immediately you would think, oh, he's going to go do a big score. But why $29,000? What an arbitrary number. now, people, some of the things that I had read online were pretty funny. People were saying, well, if he had $30,000, it would look really bad. So he only had $29,000. But the one thing that I've heard is that Jim Irsay, because he's weird, he's just a kind of a weird guy, he always carries – he's a cash guy. He just carries cash around with him all the time.
He doesn't like debit cards or credit cards.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know why you need $29,000. But I mean, I guess if you're – maybe it was just one of those nights where he hit up like 10 or 12 places to get drugs. But then again, why is he buying his own drugs, you know?
Yeah, you'd think he'd have like a butler to go buy his drugs.
A butler. My pill butler to go out.
His pill butler.
Jeeves, go score me some Oxy, please.
I think we've discovered the actual use of the chimp in a 97 Malibu. Jim Irsay's prescription drugs.
Well, it's not, yes, well, on that, you know, topic, it's not like he was even driving a particularly nice car.
What kind of car was it? I didn't see.
It was like a 2012 Toyota Highlander, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure
that was pretty nice.
Well, I'm sure
the guy's worth like $2 billion.
I'm sure he didn't want to stand out. I mean, that was probably the whole point, was that he didn't want to, didn't want to be noticed. I'm sure that's his like go-to car if he just wants to go travel among the common people.
Yeah, hang out among the commoners. He drives the Highlander.
Well, I'm just saying.
But, I mean, the $29,000, like you said, Andy, a very interesting number right out of the gate. And
maybe he was going to go sign a running back.
Maybe he was, showing up to score some drugs with Peyton.
Yeah.
Buy some of Peyton Manning's post-surgical prescription.
Exactly.
I bet he was going to go buy some Papa John's pizza. That's probably what he was going to do.
$29,000 worth of Papa John's pizza.
Yes.
Peyton got me a deal, I swear.
Yeah. So where does this thing stand now? I mean, what's the story?
He's in treatment.
Here's an interesting question. How does the NFL handle this?
Well, right now his daughter is currently running all the team functions.
Yeah, but what about a disciplinary thing? Because if this had happened to a player, Goodell would have...
What Goodell said is that he's going to treat him just like he would a player. But we know from past kind of discretions with other owners and players that that's not necessarily true. They don't treat the owners the same. But how would you punish them? Do you say you're suspended for 15 games?
What are they supposed to do? They take away a draft pick. I mean, you're punishing the team when really the team had nothing to do
with
it.
And I guess it's a conduct policy thing. So well, I don't know. I don't know what else they need to do.
I guess you could suspend him from taking part in team operations for a certain amount of time.
That's what I was going to say.
Or fine him.
Well, it's kind of like – didn't they do that with the Saints? The GM had to be suspended for like a half year or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing they're probably going to treat it similarly in terms of just looking it over because he's already in treatment. This is not new for him. I'm assuming that they're just going to kind of let it go because he's already in treatment and he's doing things the right way as far as the aftermath.
Right. That was going to be the other thing I was going to say. I mean, do you really want to punish him more than what he's already done?
And they didn't punish the coach of the Steelers for coming onto the field or rather disrupting the play. Oh, I'm serious. Right. Like that was a major thing. They were like, oh, well, shit, they're going to take away a draft pick because of that.
And that's the thing, too. What Mike Tomlin did with the Steelers would actually affect a game, whereas Irsay did nothing that would affect the team on the field.
Right. I mean, it just makes the league look bad, which they're very sensitive about. But considering that, if they had uncovered some sort of thing where he was buying pills and distributing them to players, there was this massive underbelly to it, then, obviously they would be very proactive about removing him from the NFL's circle or whatever. But considering that they seem to be very content in letting him just go about his affairs, then, they're just – I don't think the NFL is going to sully their hands getting it. They're just going to kind of hope it goes away. People just forget it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The NFL's got their own shit going on. They got their own stuff going
on. Yeah, they've got their own problems to deal with.
Problems – you can call them problems. The NFL is a – we're going through that time of year again, at least according to the boards, where we're having this existential – a crisis regarding our feelings about the NFL, even though it's not even its season.
It's always the inevitable implosion, I think is the way it was referred to.
Well, that was the thread name, which was probably a little overboard because what's his face?
Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing about this, and I'm guilty of this too, so I'm not criticizing. I'm criticizing people, but I'm also criticizing myself here. When we put on our logical hats, we tend to agree that the NFL has problems, and we tend to come down what I feel to be rightfully hard on the NFL. But come football season, we all get invested.
Well, sure, because we all love the product. We just don't like to admit that we do. And we're all kind of scared that this product that we all love is ruining itself.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair to the league, because kind of just going to, this is that weird time of year where they're going through and changing rules and stuff. At least they try to, and things are just kind of being modified. Mm-hmm. So real quick, just kind of bullet point by bullet point here, your thoughts on they're raising the crossbars. The crossbar is higher now.
I don't mind it. The thing that angered me was getting rid of extra points completely. Right. I didn't like that idea. I thought it kind of – it just didn't feel right. Football is a game. It evolved a very certain way. And like it or not, the extra points, chip shots as they might be, are part of that. And I thought just eliminating that altogether was the wrong move. But I also recognize that the way that the game has evolved, these extra points are more or less automatic. And I like the idea of making them harder while still keeping them part of the game. I think it accomplishes both things. It respects the integrity of the game's structure, but it also recognizes that they've become a bit too easy. Well, so I like the idea of raising the crossbars.
So they're making the crossbars taller. Mm-hmm. They're going to experiment in the preseason with a longer extra point, right?
Yeah, wasn't Bill Belichick arguing for a 35-yard extra point?
I thought they were making like 38.
No, I heard 43.
No way. It's actually doing it from the two of the opposite side of the field. Okay.
We're going to make you kick the extra point from the other 2 yard line. That would be awesome.
Well, they're making those longer. They're also they thankfully did not fuck with the kickoff. They left that alone.
But here's my thing with the extra point, though. Is it something that really needed to be changed? I'm not against changing stuff that needs to be changed, but was it really necessary?
See, here's another thing about that. An argument that people brought up. People were like, "Oh, well, you know." It's just so automatic that people, as soon as a touchdown scored, people will get up to go get a snack or something because they know that the extra point's automatic. Now, I can't speak for everyone. I can only speak for myself. But I always kind of sit there waiting for the extra point to be kicked because as automatic as it might be, there's always that chance that it misses. And when it misses, it's a game changer. So personally, I never bought the argument that it needed to be changed because everyone just ignores it anyway because I personally don't.
Right. I mean, the whole thing was brought up because Roger Goodell suggested that we were looking at maybe getting rid of it altogether because it's so automatic.
Well, they want to get kicking out of the game completely.
Right. Well, I don't know if they want to get kicking out of the entire game, but it's just it had become to a point where it was so automatic that it was almost unnecessary to do it. And I get that. But I didn't want them to take it out because of reasons that Mike said. So I'm fine with making the extra points harder. Moving them back a little bit, but
they could have simplified the whole thing. Is just make the goalposts thinner, just mm-hmm. make them thinner. They don't need to be taller. They don't need to kick them farther away. They just make the goalposts thinner.
Well, they made them taller.
Bring in the AFL goalposts.
They made them taller to eliminate the review thing where it went over the goalpost.
Right. Well, that makes sense. But I'm saying just like it's a simple fix. You're trying to make it harder for the kickers. Just give them a smaller target.
Right.
And
that's the thing. Kickers are so good nowadays.
Yeah.
That even field goals from like 20 yards out are chip shots.
I mean, part
35 is a chip shot, really.
Yeah. Like I heard something that whatever number that Belichick proposed,
35.
Yeah. That even from that distance, field goals, it's like an 80% completion rate. So you know, it's down from the 99, but it's still pretty automatic.
You've got a better chance of missing from that distance. I mean, you're talking 19% more chance of something going wrong, which is really significant when you think about it. Mm-hmm. But are you saying they're raising the crossbar or the uprights?
The uprights.
Okay.
They're extending the points of the goalpost up another 5 feet.
Okay.
Which is
tight. And that's another reason why they don't want – they're also putting the rule to not dunk on them because they're going to be top heavy now.
I love that.
They're going to be a bitch to tilt. Like you have this crusade against Jimmy Graham.
I really don't. And people, I've never said a bad word about Jimmy Graham before, ever.
Well, yeah, but now you're attacking his goal. I made one touchdown celebration.
Yeah, because it's not even. First of all, it's not even original. Second of all, it caused a delay of game, which is a legitimate gripe. It's like, dude, these games are already long enough. You're fucking hanging off.
Yeah. Football games are already start and stop enough as it is. We don't need it delayed even further because some idiot bent the goalpost.
Here's the other thing, too, is like guys that did that, like that was Tony Gonzalez's thing for a long time.
Exactly.
Except Tony Gonzalez played college basketball.
So it made sense.
He did that. Yeah, he was like, hey, I played basketball. Look at me dunk. And he never tilted the damn goalpost.
Right.
Jimmy Graham just says, hey, I'm going to do this.
Jimmy Graham is branding. He's basically just branding. He's promoting himself every time he does that stuff. So it's something like, dude, if you want to be, you know, if you want to be Ocho Cinco or something to do some weird gimmicky crap, just do it. But don't, you know, don't delay the game, which is exactly what you're potentially going to be doing. You're not a small guy. You don't need to be hanging off the goddamn goalpost. And it, you know, I know he's all pissed. I'll be the highest flying player in the league. Well, good. Good. I hope you look like a total jackass every week. Because it's good. Your team is going to get sick of it because you're going to be making an attention whore of yourself. And you know, I don't know. The Saints, I've just soured so much on them collectively. And
the Saints had such a squeaky clean narrative coming out of that Super Bowl win, and it's just been exposed as such an ugly, full of itself organization.
You know what the Saints have? Boston Red Sox syndrome.
Yes.
Before they won, everyone loved the Red Sox for the most part, Greg.
Yeah.
You know, it's they hadn't won in a long time. They've been historically, had things terrible happen to them. And the Saints, they were one of the poorest excuses for a football franchise ever. And then they had the Katrina thing, which some people, maybe they get a little over that. But you have all these things against them. So, yeah, when they come back and now Drew Brees wants to go there, you root for them. Except for when they play your team in the Super Bowl and then onside kick to start the second half because their
next argument is falling off the rails now because we obviously know he hates them.
Well, yeah. But before that, I was like, oh yeah, sure, Saints, fun, good times.
Yeah,
they had Drew Brees, and but then they win the Super Bowl, and now you have the scandal against them,
right?
The Bounty Gate. I've noticed a lot of Saints fans kind of getting the Clippers syndrome too, where they're a little too uppity about being Saints fans. Trying to talk trash on everybody else in their division. It's like, well, before Drew Brees got there, you guys were terrible. And just wait till when Drew Brees leaves. I don't know if the Saints are going to be able to continue this sort of success after that.
I don't know. I don't really.
It just seems like a bloated, ugly organization, morally empty organization. I'll say that.
But yeah. I don't know. The NFL is obviously it's like we're fucking opening days on Monday, and yet the NFL is dominating.
That's just the way it is these days.
I forgot baseball started next week.
So did I. I mean, that's how sad it is. I forgot. And
I mean, technically, it opened in cricket style.
Well, yeah, but I didn't even watch any of that.
Which started off extremely awkward with Vin Scully trying to introduce everybody with an Australian accent.
Good day.
Yeah, that's not good.
Good day, mate. It's like, oh.
They nailed me into a box and flew me down here to Australia. I thought I was a corpse in the airport, so I flew for free. Where the hell am I anyway?
Leave Vin alone.
Yeah, you're
aren't you an Angels fan?
Hey, man, Vin Scully's an institution. Come on.
If the Angels aren't on, I will watch a Dodger game for at least an inning just to listen to Vin.
Yep.
And when the Angels play the Dodgers, I specifically watch the Dodger broadcast.
Hey, is Vin Scully old or isn't he?
Yeah, he's old.
He's okay. Very old.
My point.
He's also still probably the best broadcaster in Major League Baseball.
My joke.
He's no Joe Buck.
But I'm actually.
Did you hear who Joe Buck's going to be partnered with this year?
Who?
Harold Reynolds.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Harold Reynolds takes over for Tim McCarver.
That's going to be interesting.
It's going to be weird. I'm going to have to watch more Joe Buck now because I'm trying. This is my baseball redemption year.
Wasn't that last year?
Once the Cubs got a mascot, that's when you were fully on board with us, right?
Totally. That made the difference, right?
No, I just sort of was. I don't know. I'm going.
I have seen you making an effort to be more baseball friendly this year.
Are you going to be trying to be more baseball friendly and just watch the Cubs more?
Both. I mean, both. Because obviously the Cubs are local, so I'm going to see their games on TV a lot.
Right, but if the White Sox are on instead, are you going to watch the White Sox?
It depends on who they're playing. Honestly, like the Sox, I don't hate them, but
if it's a White Sox Royals game. On like
sure.
a Wednesday.
Oh hell, I'd watch that.
I watched Royals if it's a division game.
Royals might be pretty good this year.
I'd watch like Indians Sox are usually good games. I mean, it just depends. Like right now, no, because if they're playing anyone in their division, it's gonna be like cold, shitty. These are the Sox players are already bitching because they're like, oh, we don't want to come back. We don't want to leave Arizona and go back to fucking Chicago where it's like 50.
Well, that's the power of the polar vortex.
But I'm really looking forward to opening day because I think opening day kicks ass because it's just this cool like baseball.
It's a celebration of what baseball's supposed to be, sort of like pure pastoral game.
Yeah, there's no hockey game on. There's no Ducks game that I'm going to watch that night, and so I get into opening day. I will watch the entirety of opening day from start to finish.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know if I'll watch another baseball game for like another month.
Just to briefly interject, you guys will probably know the answer to this related question. What are the only 2 days of the year that do not have sports scheduled on them?
Day before and after the All-Star game of Major League Baseball.
Very good. Very good, Greg. I just heard that the other day. I didn't.
Yeah.
You know.
But technically there are no major league sports, but they do have minor league All-Star games. So
that's what I mean. Yeah. Major of the Big Four or whatever.
Well, see, I love watching the minor league All-Star games.
Of course you do.
That's just me.
of course you do.
Yeah. It's like my Pro Bowl, I guess.
You know, the one thing that I've kind of, you know, you guys know, sadly, I go through this stuff every now and then where I kind of have my sports kind of existential conversation with myself over what I want to feel about them, like basketball. Like I get excited for college basketball, like the March Madness every year, but then I just don't care at all, even the slightest. Like I can't even watch a whole game because I just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And the NBA basketball has soured on me so much. I just can't. I'll listen to people talk about it on the radio, but I just don't care about the NBA at all.
What if the Pacers made a run?
No, I don't give a shit about the Pacers.
The Pacers indeed had a good game the other day, and
I heard.
I didn't watch the entire thing. I watched the end of the game because guess what? It was a tight game. So all those 50 baskets each team scored before the fourth quarter didn't mean jack shit.
But that's
my problem with a full basketball game like that.
Right.
Is the first 2 points of the game really that important?
Plus, the East is so bad, we already know who's going to come
right.
Out. Well,
Toronto.
There's no narrative in the NBA right now. It's Pacers Heat, and then
I was just going to say
Lakers are terrible, and that's what you got.
Would our interest in the NBA be better or more, whatever? Would we have more interest in the NBA if we thought there were more teams than just say three or four that actually had a legitimate shot at winning it all?
Oh yeah,
and short playoffs. And five game, make them a 5-game playoffs for the championship.
At least the first round.
I'd say make the first whatever many rounds. Make only the championship series 7 games because these playoffs go on way too long. I mean, holy shit! Compared to every other season, including fucking baseball, the NBA is ungodly long. I mean, like the fucking Sixers have lost like 30 in a row, 30 fucking games. It's like 23 or something. But I mean, it is just like why even bother? Why even bother subjecting fans to this shit? It does not matter. But that to get back to my original point, I kind of found myself wondering, like, just thinking about sports. It's like, you know, what do I miss? What do I miss about sports? I have an opportunity to enjoy it this summer, baseball. I have not enjoyed or appreciated the sport of baseball in a long time. And there's – I don't know. Maybe you guys get this too, especially Greg. When I think about baseball, I just get a lot of good feelings. This is like the summer kind of relaxed
– yeah.
Enjoyable, very patriotic vibe. It's just kind of this this Americana, just pleasant, you know. I mean, if you don't think about A-Rod, if you don't think – I mean, seriously, if you don't think about the scandal and the disgusting nature of the horrible underbelly that these incredibly overpaid athletes and the owners and all this weird shit, if you just think about it purely as a game, it is fantastic.
Well, that's the thing about it. Everybody says there's something wrong with baseball. There's nothing wrong with baseball at all. The game is great. It's the players and the people. But the thing I like about it in the summertime is it's not like the NFL where you have to basically your team is on once a week. You have to sit down and devote your full attention to it. Baseball's a sport you can drop in and out of as you go. You don't have to follow it every day. You just kind of flow with it, and you know, and that's the great thing about it.
It's not a frothing war event like it. It's almost like you're going to see an execution. Seriously, like the crowds that gather there. I mean,
It's like week three. It's like Chargers Raiders. One team will die.
Right. I mean, seriously, those guys. Right. If you're wearing a fucking Chargers jersey in the wrong side of town, I mean, they're gonna mess you up. Whereas,
and compare that to like, you go to a baseball game.
Sure.
Sunday afternoon, you grab a hot dog, you grab a beer, you sit out in the sun, and you just
chill.
You get 3 hours with you and a sport, and you don't have to live and die on every single baseball pitch. It's like, okay, yeah. Like, Greg, you're saying you don't even have to live and die with every single game. When you're at a game, you don't have to live and die with every single pitch.
No, not at all. No.
You just kind of hang out.
Here's a great thing I love about baseball. Take the NFL, for instance, because I think that no two leagues are as diametrically opposed as Major League Baseball and the NFL are. But take the NFL. Like, if it's week 8 and the Chargers are like 1-7, it's like it's almost a chore to follow the season, because it's like, this team's not going anywhere. It's just going to be humiliating to see them get killed in another football game.
It's just like, God, a lot of teams in the NFL just go through injury bug seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like the season's over.
We're down to like the ninth string wide receiver, and
right.
Whereas
baseball's got these deep roots, and you can always move guys around. There's tons of trades. The trade deadline in baseball is always fun.
And with baseball, what I was getting at though is that even if the Blue Jays have been eliminated,
will be again this year,
which they probably will be. But it's like even past that point where the team's no longer competing for a playoff spot, yeah, I can still turn on a Jays game and I can just enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's not that doom and gloom, your team sucks and the season is over mentality, because you know even one contained game is sort of like its own entity.
Sure. And I mean, you know, it's I think it's kind of also it's hypocritical for me in some regards, because this is probably the first year in, I don't know, 7 years that the Cubs have been watchable, that I'll be tuning in this mm-hmm. year. I mean, not that they'll be good, but
with their well-hung creepy mascot.
apparently he's not going to be. He will not be in the stadium. He will not be in Wrigley. He'll just be outside of it. And I guess he's going to have some like party room, which sounds creepy as hell.
Have they made the renovations to right field yet?
I don't know.
You want to go into the party room?
He doesn't talk like that. I'm sure. Hey, good. Blah blah blah. I'm the bear. But baseball, it's just, you know, like you said, it's just kind of let's just relax and enjoy a baseball game. Mm-hmm. There's pressure will be on later in the
right.
year.
Like, even during the season, I mean, wins and losses matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, you still be like, all right, well, there's still 100 games left.
Right.
You know,
if you go.
You get down to the nitty gritty around August, September. And but besides that, it's like the Angels are 5 games out in the middle of July.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You can watch a game on a Sunday, and if your team loses, so what? It doesn't hang a pall over the rest of the week. It doesn't do anything, because you got tomorrow to go back and try it again. And you know,
now we're all saying this, but fast forward 6 months when the Cardinals have won the World Series and we're all just bitter and angry.
That's a different monster. That's a different monster altogether.
Yeah,
we're all just angry and bitter at the world, and yeah. So it'll be nice while it lasts.
The Cardinals are.
We're going to record a baseball preview show next week, right, Greg?
Yes,
I'm down for it.
All right,
I'll break out my Blue Jays hat and everything.
All right,
oh, wow.
Mike's getting serious about this. But it's cool though. I'm glad, Andy, that you're kind of going to give it a shot this year. You know, it may not work out, but hey, you know.
Sorry.
I'm just trying to enjoy sports. That's part of the big reason. You know, besides the scheduling and stuff with me walking away from the show the first time, part of it is just I just was really over sports. I just really it's not that I didn't like sports. It's just you guys have talked about it before. We've discussed it where I just didn't have a lot of fun with sports. You know, like it's been very hard for me to enjoy.
It's going to be tested again in like 3 weeks once the Blackhawks playoffs run.
Well, yeah, that'll be its own thing.
And they're going to play the Avalanche, who they haven't beat.
But I'm gonna try and put on my own bit of a damper with that, because it's like I just saw
the Blackhawks lose game one. It's all over.
Well, I'm gonna try and prevent I'm gonna stay off the boards a little bit, and I'm just, you know, they did just win the cup last year, so I got spoiled fan syndrome to where it's like, okay,
don't worry about it. If the Ducks play the Kings in the first round, trust me, I'll be sky is falling after every single game.
I just want to get to the first round. That's my goal at this point.
The Maple Leafs are imploding.
The Beach are having struggles.
They got a big win on Tuesday. Moved ahead. They moved into the top. I don't know how it happened. They went from fourth to first in the wild card race. Oh,
that's just the way it works. Well, see, the problem is there was what? There's four teams tied with 80 points
right
now.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so Columbus is technically first based on they've played the least amount of games. And they actually have the regulation overtime win tiebreaker over all four teams also.
So we'll see how it goes. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I guess the nice thing is that even if there's no expectation, because even if they do get in, they're not going to win the cup. So it's just get in, have some fun, try to go as far as you can and not worry about it.
You never want to discount the randomness of hockey, you know.
It would have to get pretty doggone random for this team to win the Stanley Cup.
Well, but here's the thing. If the playoffs started today, they'd be playing Pittsburgh in the first round.
Right.
What is that? Is Pittsburgh hasn't been that great, have they?
I mean, Pittsburgh's been good. Malkin's out for the rest of the season with a goddamn foot injury.
Yeah, Malkin's out. Fleury is a friggin' wild card when it comes to the playoffs and net.
Oh, Fleury's amazing in the playoffs. He's either shutting everything out or he can't stop a goddamn beach ball, and it's just fantastic to watch.
Didn't their coach just call him out for just not giving a shit recently?
Yeah.
Well, but to their defense, I mean, they've got, like, last I saw they had like 97 points or something like that. I mean, they're going to do? You know, they're just playing out the string at this point.
This is not the time of the year to play indifferent fucking hockey.
I agree, but I'm trying to give you what I think is their attitude towards it.
Pittsburgh Penguins need to play Cardinals baseball here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but at the same time, I can understand where it's like, you know, they've essentially got a playoff spot locked up.
Well,
okay, so it's like, oh, tonight the Panthers, we have to play the Panthers.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't give a shit about the fans.
Even if you try, even if you go into it with the attitude that we're going to take this seriously, you just know when you're playing the Panthers or whoever, you just know that no matter how hard you try, there's just no way to get around the fact that you know you're playing the Panthers and that you're just a far superior team. And so, yeah, you're gonna play a little lackluster hockey, I would think. Yeah.
And looking at the standings, they're not going to catch Boston for the first seed in the East.
Right.
The Rangers aren't going to catch them for the division.
Right.
So they're the second seed in the East. That's where they're going to chill out.
They're locked in at that, right? Pretty much.
Pretty much. The Rangers are 11 points back, and Pittsburgh is 9 back of Boston. But there's only 9 games left.
What the hell is going on with Boston? Jesus Christ.
Boston is playing out of this fucking world, man.
That's like NHL 14.
Right? Yeah, you want a team that's playing Cardinals hockey, if you want to say it that way? That's the Boston Bruins.
I turned off. I mean, I had the game on in the background tonight, but I mean,
Zach, what's going on with your Ducks, man?
Oh, what the fuck?
We're chilling. We're back on track. We're two points behind San Jose. We got two games in hand on San Jose. We are 6 points behind St. Louis with a game in hand on them. So we're still in the President's Trophy race.
You don't want to win the President's Trophy.
I wanted just to have the banner, just to have another banner in the rafters, because we're a young franchise. We really don't. We have 4 legitimate banners up there, and one that says, "Hey, inaugural season."
we started.
No, we took that one down. How many do we have? We have 2 divisions, so 1-2. We have 2 conference, 3-4, and
the Stanley Cup one.
Stanley Cup, so 5. We have 5 banners.
Well, was the inaugural season part of Brian Burke's get rid of all this Disney crap?
No. Brian Burke took down the Mighty Decade banner.
Oh, okay.
Which was congratulations for surviving 10 years. And we took down the inaugural season banner this year, mm-hmm. and it got replaced with the last year's division banner.
And speaking of teams, Mike, what the hell's going on with the Maple Leafs?
Darkness.
I guess.
Darkness well, is it Bernier? Bernier's hurt.
He's back. It didn't change anything.
Yeah, he was like he's the goalie, right?
Yeah.
Bernier was like a sieve the other night against who were they playing? I watched it, and he got lit up pretty bad.
It all blends now. I I thought they were safe because they usually save their collapse for January, but they made it through January. So I figured, you know, no, we're good now. And then it's just darkness.
I will say this. I tell you what. I just this season, man, I've just turned into – last year during the show, during hockey season, I was what I would call a casual fan. Uh-huh. I think I've moved it up a notch. I still don't know like all the players and stuff, but I'm pretty hardcore at this point. It's definitely my second favorite sport. I love it.
And you've caught beach fever. You were rooting hard against the Rangers the other day.
Yeah, so. that was really weird because I'm sitting there and I think that this is like my nightmare scenario. But 10 minutes into it, I'm like, you know, fuck these guys, man. I was just like, and then when Rick Nash pulled the thing against Bob's, I was like, oh, wait a minute now. And that was it. It was over. And I was like, I'm going to burn all my Rangers shit. That's that. Take them down my banner. Forget it.
Until you burn all your Rangers shit, and then you get, like, nostalgic for it.
And then and then I watched him play the Flyers last night, and God knows I've hated the Flyers forever, and I thought, well, you know. But, no, there's, you know, I talked about it last year, how it was going to be a real dilemma. It's not. The Blue Jackets are clearly my number one team without question, without
Greg,
a doubt.
I'm assuming, Greg, that you're watching random games.
Yeah.
On TV. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a question for you then, for everyone. Mm-hmm. When you're watching a random hockey game, that it does not feature your favorite team.
Sure.
Do you find yourself rooting for the team? Okay, so for example, if I was watching like a Lightning Panthers game, and I initially would probably root for the Lightning if I had to choose one team. Mm-hmm. However, if the lighting in the arena made the Panthers uniforms look better, I would root for the Panthers. Because psychologically, I would want the design to win.
I'm absolutely the better uniform always. When I don't have a horse in the race, I go with the uniform I like better.
It always depends on who's playing. Like if I'm because I get to see the Ducks and Kings games. If I'm watching I was watching the Kings play the Penguins tonight.
Ugh.
Obviously, I want the Penguins to beat the Kings.
Yeah.
Or if I'm watching a San Jose game, but or any team that the Ducks happen to be chasing or is chasing them, rooting against the other team. But if it's like Minnesota and Phoenix, you know, usually with any team, because I've been watching so long and I know too much about some of these things. I usually find, like, not necessarily the uniforms. It'll be like an emotional point where I'm like, you know what? I want this team to win because of X. Like, I lived in Phoenix for a while, and yeah, the Phoenix fans get a bad rap, but I grew to appreciate the Coyotes for what they were. So it's like, okay, yeah, Phoenix, go ahead. You can win. Do whatever you want.
Stuff out there. You guys just do whatever you want to do.
It's really, for me, the uniforms do – if I'm completely neutral in two teams, the uniforms do play a part. Like if the Rangers play the Avalanche.
Okay, you guys are misunderstanding. You guys are misunderstanding my point. I misphrased it. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay, try it again.
What I'm saying is that – okay, I should have said if I was watching the Panthers versus the Lightning that I would – normally in a design contest choose the Lightning.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But the arena lighting and the broadcast channel makes the Panthers uniforms look better and more colorful and vivid than I would go for the Panthers.
Yeah.
By the way, you guys, Zach may know this, especially anybody. What is the deal? Like whenever I watch a game on like NBC Sports versus Comcast Sportsnet, the color on NBC is much better.
Yeah, but it is. Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know what to tell, because you think all these networks use the same cameras and stuff.
Right.
Well, I'm guessing not, actually. I'm guessing there's some sort of
I found that there's actually a difference between Canadian and American networks. Okay. Like, I found colors to be more I don't know why this is, but I found colors to be more vibrant on Canadian networks. Like, for example, if I'm watching – like, the Avalanches are a good example of this because they have really dark, murky colors. But I found that on CBC, the Avalanche, you can really see that maroon and slate blue pop. But if it's an NBC feed, for example, then it's kind of murky brown, all like just at a glance.
Yeah. I've noticed the same. Like, if I watch Ducks highlights and, like, with the NHL Network, sometimes they'll intersplice the networks. Mm-hmm. So, like, the Ducks played the Flames yesterday, and it was on TSN in Canada. So when they were showing the highlight, like, I watched the game obviously on the Ducks feed here at home, and then I watched the highlights on NHL Network, and it was the TSN feed, and it did look different, like crisper. Like I don't know exactly what that is, but I know it's something.
Canadian technology is just so ingrained with hockey.
Yeah, obviously.
If I had to venture a guess, I would say that NBC has national stuff, so they're not bouncing off as many satellites to get it to, say, my house from Anaheim, and that might be the difference. But I really there really is no explanation for it, because theoretically – they should all be roughly the same. But I noticed last night watching the Rangers and Flyers that I was like, damn. you know, the Rangers colors, I mean, you know, really just jumping off the screen, whereas they don't do that if I watch them on MSG or when I watched them play on Fox Sports Ohio the other night. It wasn't like that.
I always feel like, because I'll be watching a game or whatever, and it's like, man, like those Hawks uniforms look like just drab shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's like, is it the lighting under this arena? Because I know like places in like Edmonton has really weird old lights.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
cool. I kind of like it though. In Montreal.
Edmonton's weird to watch a game. Because
it's got a weird camera setup too.
The ice looks weird, and yeah, and then the boards, like the penalty boxes and benches, are flipped.
Mm-hmm.
It's darker in there.
It's dark.
It's kind of
just like it looks like if you're watching a game in Edmonton is what it looks like, where it's just dark and depressing and cold.
That's going to change. Their new arena is apparently going to be like this hockey pleasure palace. So
it's not going to be Edmonton. So.
But yeah, there's definitely a difference between the national, like an NBC Sports feed or even an NBC game, compared to watching it on a regional network. I don't know why, but it's definitely there. Because the colors were just way better last night watching Rangers Flyers than they were any other time I'd watch the Rangers this season.
And the Flyers are another good team.
A real answer for you, Andy, but you know.
The Flyers are another good team because, I mean, in person, the Flyers' orange is really vibrant. But if you get like a bad lighting or camera setup, it just kind of looks washed out on TV.
Really, and it's funny that you mentioned that because I was actually at the Ducks Flyers game this year, and for me it was actually the opposite. I thought the Flyers in person and the fans wearing the jerseys in the arena, I thought the orange was paler than
I really expected. I went to see the Flyers too this year, and I really thought their uniforms are going to look really cool in person, and they didn't. They were kind of, like you said, they didn't seem as bright, as weird. Yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's come up on occasion in the hockey thread, especially when they play in Canada because of just the lighting and stuff. But just I don't know.
It's metric. We use metric lights, you know, metric lights. So.
And it's different. It's like if you're watching the national games, very rarely do the national games go anywhere other than, you know, Chicago and New York.
That might be it too, yeah.
Well, I mean,
but if you're watching, like, if you ever watch a game in San Jose, like, the camera angle in San Jose bugs the hell out of me. Like, the position of where it happens to be in the arena is different than others. It seems like it's a little bit higher, like you're looking down, but it's also farther away. So it's hard to really describe.
But it's the Sharks. It's awesome. So it's like the best camera angle ever in the league.
You know what, though? That same kind of thing. Like, I hate watching Ohio State play home football games because of that, because it's like the camera's on the freaking roof or something.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't look right. But
it was the same thing with Calgary. I think they have a very, like, wide lower bowl, but the camera's up a little bit. So
to be fair,
of where the boards are.
To be fair, they had to raise the camera because it all got waterlogged down there. So,
and Detroit, I don't know why they haven't figured out a way to fix this. But if you watch a game in Detroit, the upper game camera, inevitably someone will stand up and get you, and they're right in front of it, and you can't see anything.
Because it's Detroit, and it's because Red Wings fans are inconsiderate, you know, peons of evil. So that's why. But
sorry. Go ahead.
When I went to Joe Louis back in 2008. I took note of that, and sorry, my dog was crying for some reason.
It hates that you're talking about the Red Wings.
No, he's chewing on his ball and just like
he's just having fun.
I thought you were saying ball. Anyway,
there's no place to put it. Like that's literally the only place to put the camera angle there.
Yeah, but you think they would have thought of that when they built the place?
They built the plate. When did they build Joe Louis, though?
Like
in the
back
80s?
Early 80s, I think, yeah.
They weren't really too concerned with TV back then, I don't think.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Although I did think when the Ducks played the Red Wings in the playoffs last year, I saw one of the funniest things. Some guy stood up, like as they always do towards the end of these games, when they're tight in Detroit, and the camera has to zoom out so it can see everything. And there was a guy that stood up, big, fat dude. And the back of his jersey, it was the number 23, and it was customized to say Love Machine.
Nice.
So it was just like, you do you, man. That's
Love Machine, baby.
I hope he has season tickets, and that's his regular seat.
I don't know if it is. I think that's the first time I ever noticed it. But, yeah, the Love Machine.
Do you guys see Adam Burrish's finger?
I did.
Oh, God.
That thing was horrible.
Have you seen the finger?
I don't want to.
Adam Burrish, he went to go block a shot. I'll just describe it this way. His finger between the first and second knuckle.
Oh no!
It broke, and so it. But it didn't just break. The top part of the finger from the second knuckle up kind of bent straight up.
Oh,
holy shit!
If you're interested, there's the link.
No, I'll pass. I'm not good with that kind of stuff.
It's interesting to look at.
My girlfriend was watching some TV show today, and there was a dead body in a bathtub, and they pulled back this cover to find it. And I ran out of the room, and it was just a TV. Yeah, I'm not good with that stuff.
It's not bloody.
I don't care if it's. That's even worse. If it's
it looks
just
like a bad
freaky looking, and not the way it's supposed to be. No,
it looks like one of those pictures of like a girl who took a picture of herself in the mirror and was like, "Look how curvy I am," and used the blur tool or whatever in Photoshop to like self thinner.
The picture that you put up, I originally thought like, "Oh, that's just a blur. Like he's moving his hand. It's blurred. Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with it." And then I saw another angle. I'm like, oh no, that's broken. That's how that's supposed to be.
Yeah, I'll pass on that. Thanks.
Speaking of hockey stuff, you guys remember Sean Avery, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh, who doesn't remember Sean Avery?
Sloppy second Sean Avery.
Played for the Rangers for a while. Is he still there?
Played for the Rangers, played for the Kings.
Was he with the Bruins for a while?
Stars. No, he never played with
the Bruins. Not for
the Bruins, okay. The city of Boston would have killed this guy.
All right.
but no, thankfully he slithered his way out of hockey. But he was just on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, boy. Wow.
I know. Of all the brilliant ex-hockey players they could have gotten, Sean Avery, I don't know how they booked him.
He's got so much going on.
Right. I mean, he's designing all those handbags and
– honest to God, what I think it is – and sorry to interrupt you if you had a story.
No.
These shows – are very, very active with the Big Four. They're active with wrestling. They're active with anything that is huge to try plumb, like they say. They probably call up some sort of PR director for the NHL and was like, hey, we're really interested in getting could we get Sidney Crosby on Dancing with the Stars?
Wow.
And they're probably like, well, no. How about we give you a list of players who need work? And right. You can
to be
call
fair, any ex hockey player that they would have gotten that had any name recognition to the general public, they're not going to get Gretzky to do Dancing with the Stars.
Hell no, they could probably get Gretzky's daughter. I get Gretzky's daughter to suck and dick with the Stars.
Oh, geez. No, she's engaged to some professional golfer.
Oh, that's
a big name professional golfer. I don't remember his name, but he if I said his name, you'd be like, oh yeah, sure, that guy. Anyway. So Avery, he got eliminated last night on Tuesday night.
What a shame.
Yeah,
and
pity.
Well, you know who's lasted longer? I mean, Sean Avery, professional athlete at one point. You think professional athletes do pretty well in these things.
Mm-hmm.
Lando Calrissian is still in Dancing with the Stars.
Billy Dee Williams.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, he's still around?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got a feeling. Okay, tonight's going to be a good night. I got a feeling that – oh, sorry. Mike, this affects you too. I'm going to keep interrupting you.
Okay.
I got a feeling the Billy Dee Williams is going to be quite busy here soon because Star Wars is filming this summer. I'm just saying.
And check out basically a geek show where we'll have the lowdown on that.
Yeah. So
never miss that plug opportunity, Mike. You're learning fast.
He gets eliminated. So then he goes on Good Morning America the next day, and he says some stupid stuff like the reason that you get voted off these shows, I know exactly why I got voted off the show, and it's like, okay, well why'd you get voted off, Sean?
Socialism.
Well, he said, I saw the package that they ran on me to introduce me, portraying me as some bad boy of hockey, and I didn't like that, so I told the producer. And obviously, when you get on the producer's bad side, you're not going to be on the show very
long. For God's sakes. I mean, I hadn't followed hockey in years, and I knew he was a douchebag. Come on.
Right. Like, Sean Avery, you gotta admit that you're a douchebag. Well, and the best
part
is –
you're a douchebag, and nobody likes you.
Right. And so, he does a really good job of trying to portray that he's a really good guy that was only doing this for charity again by today. I guess somebody decided to ask Martin Brodeur about it. And Brodeur, if you remember when Avery was with the Rangers, Brodeur and Avery had a little run-in during the playoffs.
I.e. he acted like a dick and kept like
– right. Yeah. Instead of just screening the goalie with your back facing the goaltender and, watching the puck, he then turned around and waved his hands and stick in front of Brodeur's face while making eye contact with him. The NHL quickly made a rule to not allow that ever to happen again. And then after the series, once they were going through the handshake line, Martin Brodeur did not shake Sean Avery's hand. After the game, Avery said, "Fatso forgot to shake my hand." So yesterday, Brodeur says some stuff. He gets interviewed by NewJersey.com. I didn't watch – I don't watch those shows, but I was watching the NHL Network and they mentioned it. What more could he do to embarrass himself? There it is. So Sean Avery, of course, needed to respond.
The source of class that he is.
Right. So Sean Avery woke up beside a hashtag supermodel to hear news that hashtag Fatso made a comment. At Dancing ABC equals thousands of dollars for charity. He also then made another tweet that referenced Martin Brodeur and his divorce and infidelity.
Where, nice. Classy
where Martin
move.
Brodeur, he did sleep with his sister-in-law. So,
ooh.
And well, apparently that was
Sean Avery is the last person who should be commenting on someone else's sexual misdeeds.
Right. So, Sean Avery, in case anyone forgot,
keeping it classy.
Still a douchebag.
Keeping it classy.
Just in case you were wondering, right?
Yeah. And then it's funny, this article, they close out the article saying, Sean Avery is classy as ever. Too bad no one like Brett Hull was around to grab him by the back of the jersey. And if, of course, Sean Avery's ever grabbed by the back of the jersey, he would then promptly turtle.
No, of course.
Sean Avery, the one other story that I have about Sean Avery, when he played with the Kings, he got in some, fight or verbal fight with Brian Hayward, the Ducks color analyst, where eventually I think Hayward said something to the effect like you're still on your fifth year of eighth grade or something. Like, I think he said it on the broadcast. He's like, what do you expect from somebody that's still in their fifth year of eighth grade? And it's just like, oh, well. So
I was just reading through. This is a total 180 or something. It's not even 180. I'm going to have to hop off here in a couple minutes, by the way, guys.
Yeah, we're getting close to the end here anyway, so let's do this, and then we will call it a night.
I don't know where to go, but I was reading about this Chicago sports radio host. This is on Deadspin. You guys might have read it.
I saw the link. I didn't click on it. But
this overnight – this guy I used to listen to on overnight. His name is Les Grobstein.
I think I heard something about this, yeah.
Host. He – apparently left a foul shit in the at the studio. The guys usually come in for the morning show around 3 a.m. for their production meeting because the show, I believe, starts at 5. But Les apparently left a liquidy, just horrible, feces.
Why did you have to say liquidy?
And fled from the office, fled from the building. Left immediately.
He was ashamed, so he had to flee.
And they gave him shit for it all day. Gave him shit. I just, I always kind of wondered, as I've done the show in the past here, we run pretty long sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely, for about almost 6 months straight on this show, I was dying by the end of the show. And not tonight. Strangely enough, tradition does not carry through. I guess my bowels are not in sync with the show anymore. But for the longest time, I couldn't wait for the show to end because I was just dying. And I would flee. Like, I'd almost be sweating.
Oh, God.
We're going to go out on a high note tonight. Okay.
I'm not trying to talk about this. I'm just saying, like, I would just not even decorum. I would just kick the door open and do what I had to do. But I don't know. I just feel like the radio business.
It's psychological, maybe. Like, you can't get up to take a shit, so.
I don't know. I feel like this is a thing that could generate a lot of great radio talk shows.
The psychology of crapping on air.
Man, oh, man.
There's a podcast out there about feces.
I'm sure there is.
It's probably on More Like Radio.
More than likely.
Well, that's all I got to say.
And on that note,
I have some stuff.
Oh,
Zach's got tabs.
Come on, Zach. All right, go ahead.
They're three college related stories.
All right.
First thing, somebody put up, I don't know where, I think it was on Twitter. It made the rounds on the internet. Somebody put up this picture, and it's a picture of a paper that a University of North Carolina basketball player turned in. It's about Rosa Parks, and he got an A-.
I need to see this.
He got an A- on this paper. Now, here's a picture of the paper.
Take a look. That's it.
That's it. And if you read it, it's just flawless.
On the evening of December, Rosa Parks decided...
no comma.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to read this. Trust me, it's not going to take up a lot of time. On the evening of December, Rosa Parks decided she was going to sit in the white people section of the bus in Montgomery, Alabama. During this time, blacks had to give up their seats to whites.
They're spelled incorrectly, yes.
Yep, their seats to whites when more whites got on the bus. Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat. Her and the bus driver began to talk, and the conversation went like this. Quote, "Let me have those front seats," said the driver. She didn't get up and told the driver that she was tired of giving her seats to white people. Quote, "I'm going to have you arrested," said the driver. Quote, "You may do that," Rosa Parks responded. Two white policemen came in, and Rosa Parks asked them, quote, "Why do you push us around?" The police officer replied and said, quote, "I don't know, but the law is the law, and you're under arrest."
With no quote to finish off the quote. On
that page. There is another paper in the back. What is that?
That's another paper. That's not the okay. Same paper.
That's bibliography.
I got a... I need a minute. I'm overcome with emotion after hearing that touching.
I feel like I just relived history.
It's like you were there. I mean, it really is like you were right there on the bus.
A minus, huh?
The paper's title is Rosa Parks: My Story.
By the way, no name. I don't know if the name was whited out on the page, but there is no name on the paper.
I'm guessing they blurred it out.
I only see the class number and then final paper.
Right. I'm trying to look up there, and like it doesn't look photoshopped. I don't think this person put their name on the paper.
No. Although, to
please
be honest,
tell me that this was not from Ohio State.
Yeah, North Carolina.
No, this is North Carolina. Okay. Here's the other thing. There's a longer report, I guess, from outside the lines that the University of North Carolina was basically a diploma mill in their African and Afro-American studies department. Just basically was like, here, take these.
Well, clearly that's not the case after seeing this. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you know, I just want to say I obviously chose the wrong university because I could have been goddamn valedictorian.
Yeah. I mean, I could easily do two paragraphs. I mean, I could double the output there. Wow.
But then you would have been marked down for, verboseness.
Well, you got to give him credit. He was
verbosity.
Quick and to the point.
There's another thing here where I guess the Student Press Law Center, who I've actually had a few conversations with in my time as being a student press, they did like some information request for public information request for the University of Maryland and a few other universities. And coming out of this, they got a interesting set of ground rules from the Georgia Bulldogs men's basketball team.
Ah, yes.
And these are team rules. You know, those, whenever they say, you know, a violation of team rules.
Right.
They got a copy of said team rules.
Oh, this ought to be good.
And here are some of the – there is a section in this little kind of dialogue, the syllabus, if you will, between the Georgia men's basketball coaching staff and the players. Mm-hmm. And in there, there's a section called Treat Women with Respect.
Here are some of the
bullet points from that. No means no. Date rape is a serious issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You don't own your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Stay out of gray areas. Orgies and gangbangs are inappropriate.
What?
Orgies and gangbangs are inappropriate.
Because, I mean, we all know. We all had our gangbangs and orgies.
Sure. We weren't on the basketball team, so it's okay.
Sixth grade field trip to the state capitol. We had denying patriotism. It's in the Constitution somewhere, I'm sure.
I am not going to stand here and let them make a mockery of the American education system like this.
Never assault or intimidate a woman.
What do they think?
birth control is your responsibility too.
That's it.
Don't spend all your energy in bed all night.
Oh, no.
Don't fuck people.
Before games.
Hickeys, spelled H-I-C-K-Y apostrophe S.
Ah.
Slash passion marks. Should never ever be should not ever be noticed by coaches.
What about not ever be noticed?
Okay. Wait, well, what school is this from? This is Georgia?
Georgia.
Georgia Bulldogs.
Wow.
And the last one, one, not two or three girlfriends.
What?
Well,
this just makes me not even want to follow college sports. It really does.
Rosa Parks essay?
Well, because, I mean, you know, theoretically, these places are supposed to be institutions of higher learning.
Mm-hmm. No.
And it is very clear in that thing that Zach just read that they are talking to idiots.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is why.
I mean, have you ever heard college athletes speak?
Well, yeah, but every once in a while an articulate one comes along.
Well, yeah, but they're also the ones that are getting – that are being an all-state football player and double majoring in bioscience.
Yeah, okay. But most of them are majoring in communications and
communications or Afro-American studies.
Right. it's just so disappointing. The whole thing with the great tradition of the student athlete and all that, I mean, that's been nonsense from day one.
It's so funny because obviously this would span into something longer, so I just want to mention it. The Northwestern with the unionizing thing. Mm-hmm. That they got approved to be a union. At all the games so far I've seen, you know, the little LED board on the back, like on the baseline, mm-hmm. for a good majority of the game, it'll say something like student athlete are cherished or something like that. So it's like the NCAA was clearly making a statement with the LED boards today. In the little notes thing, it says apartment parties are not recommended. So
there's also
a bunch of rules about cell phones and Facebook, and
it's just so I don't know. It just
different world, man.
Well, it's bad. I mean, you already feel kind of I don't know, not strange, I guess, but it's always a little bit odd to get caught up in what a bunch of 20-year-olds are doing anyway. On a field, you know, but and then you just realize that these people, they're not college students, they're freaking professional athletes that aren't very bright, and it's just discouraging, I guess.
I don't know. Rosa Parks, my story moved me.
Right? It moved me too, but that's that's the rare instance though where you get a guy that's clearly brilliant, and he's just it's like an exception to the norm, you know.
Untapped genius,
exactly.
And, since we're now in the final minute, we're close to the final minute between San Diego State and Arizona.
Who's winning?
Arizona is up by 5.
Gotcha. Okay. Continue.
With a minute 14 left.
Okay.
Deadspin did some research based on the first, I think it's just the first round of games. First and second round of NCAA games. You know, I mean, we talked about earlier how we don't call it basketball games. You don't need to watch anything more than the final 5 minutes or whatever.
Right.
Especially the final minute where there's all the timeouts and free throws. Deadspin did some research and they measured the average length of the final minute of the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
What do you think the average – how long it took to play final minute – of the first two rounds.
I'm going to guess somewhere...
This includes all the tight games, the overtimes, and the big blowouts.
I'm going to guess somewhere between 15 and 20 minutes.
I would say so. I was going to say 17.
I'll go for the outlier. I'll say 25 minutes.
The average final minute took 5 minutes and 57 seconds.
Oh, well.
Damn, it sure seems a lot longer than that.
However... I mean, these are all the statistics. The last 60 seconds of the 52 games combined took 5 hours and 44 minutes to complete.
God.
52 games, the final minute took 5 hours.
But doesn't it seem a lot longer?
The longest final minute of the tournament happened in Oregon, Wisconsin, where a game that the final 60 seconds with a 2-point margin emerged 15 minutes and 7 seconds later. The longest one was 15 minutes.
Doesn't it seem a lot longer than 5 minutes and 50 seconds or whatever it was when you're watching it? It seems like it takes like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know if this takes into account the commercials.
Oh, maybe that's the difference.
Okay. Because I would say with commercials, it's got to be longer than that.
Yeah, because of the commercial break, because they bounce out. I mean, it's a minute for every timeout. So, yeah, it's got to be longer than that. But, you know, we were talking about the NFL earlier and fixing the extra point. If you really want to fix a sport, basketball needs to find a way to fix that because that is – it's ridiculous.
It doesn't say whether or not the commercials were included.
But you get if you do get that exciting, let's say the last 10 minutes of a game – you get the 8 minutes of that are really great, and then the 2 minutes it's hacking people and going to the foul line, and it just kind of kills all the momentum. But
the longest game was Syracuse and Dayton, the full 40 minutes of competition took 147 minutes of time,
almost 2.5 hours.
For 40 minutes of basketball.
Speaking of Dayton, am I wrong that I wanted them to beat Ohio State?
No, I think that's funny because of all the years, Ohio State goes out of their way to not play any teams in Ohio because they know that shit like this happens. And then they finally have to play them, and their worst fear happens, and they lose to an in-state school.
I mean, I was talking about this with somebody the other day, and I said, if I had thought Ohio State had any chance at all of winning the whole thing, maybe I wouldn't have felt that way, but... I'm sorry. I don't care who they're playing. If a little school like Dayton can knock off the big teams, I'm always rooting for them. I just can't help myself.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, does that wrap it up?
I think so. Unless you can think of anything else.
I think we're good.
I mean, yeah. It's too bad that I can't play. I wish we had a way for me to like play video because I want you guys to hear this Jeopardy question. Here, I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you the
Jeopardy. I know what you're going to play. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll be
Alex Trebek.
Okay.
For 500. 100-plus assists in an NHL season has been accomplished only 13 times, 11 times, by this player.
Bing, bing, bing. Who is Magic Johnson?
Oh, and the best part is the reaction from Trebek is, oh, no.
Did that really happen?
Yes. Yeah, I have video of it.
Who is Wayne Gretzky? That is correct. We were talking about hockey, not the NBA.
Yeah, here's that. It's great because he goes Magic Johnson, and you just hear Trebek just, oh no.
Well, he's a Canadian. You offended his hockey sensibility.
I know, you
fucking jerk.
Wow. All right.
So that's
anyway,
it.
That's
okay.
It.
That's all. That's
okay.
All
well, with that, be sure to follow us on all of our stuff. At Basically Sports on Twitter, which we rarely ever use. We got an email. I'll have to save it for next week. Sorry. I totally forgot.
Don't we have like 5 emails in the queue?
Yeah, we got them. We'll get to them next week, I promise.
We're going to do this in like a year. So
we got these emails.
So who do you guys think is going to win the World Series in 2013? Well, we really like the Red Sox. But anyway, the email address is basicallysportsshow@gmail.com, website basicallysportsshow.com. Andy, as always, it's a joy to have you back. And
yep, I will hopefully be able to jump on again soon. We'll just kind of touch and go here. It's fun to get back on.
The championship rounds.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I will try to make more appearances on the show as I can with my work schedule. But it's a delight, as always.
And, of course, don't forget the Strange 16 of the Glorious Tournament of Victory will be released, and you can vote and all that good stuff and blah, blah, blah.
And look out for basically a baseball preview.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Zach, Mike, and I, and are we bringing anybody else in? We had a couple other people that were interested, but I figure, you know what? Let's avoid the uncomfortable silences that will happen with strangers, and let's just do it ourselves.
I don't like
Indeed.
Strangers.
All right, so there you go.
I was told to stay away from strangers.
Basically a baseball preview show, right?
Sure. Yeah. We'll figure out a funny acronym for you all.
Yeah, exactly. So with that, we're going to call it a night. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
Nope.
No.
No.
Okay, then. We'll see you next time.
See you, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Try again.